Johnson, Reel 11.
Never thought about it. I think, I'm not quite certain, but I think my husband had a gratuity of somewhere about 160 or something like that. I think that was all. Because, of course, after the end of the war, things were really hard. But for a time, I joined my husband in Germany. He went with the troops. They marched into Germany, and he was one of those who marched into Germany. And I was not demobilized. They marched into Germany at the end of 1918. And I asked if I could be demobilized as soon as I could, because I wanted to join my husband. And it was agreed that I couldn't be demobilized yet. This was 1918, and there was no hope at Christmas being demobilized. There was no hope at all of being demobilized. And I was told I could be on the 8th of May. No, sorry, the 1st of May. The 1st of May I could be demobilized, which I was. But that was 6 months, it was nearly 6 months after the war.
What was it like in Germany, just after the war?
Dreadful. I went, firstly, and stayed with my parents whilst my husband was in Germany at this time. And he wrote to me and said that they got permission to have one or two wives. There was not any accommodation for wives like there is now. Nothing like that at all. There was only one other wife where I lived, which was just outside Cologne, and there was only one other wife. It was extremely limited. It was a very, very unusual thing to have their wives out there, most unusual. But my husband had got a billet in a doctor's house. The doctor was a medical officer of health for Mönchengladbach. His wife, they had three sons, one of whom had been killed. The other one was a doctor, the other one was at university, and two brilliant daughters. Shattered me. They spoke five languages and made me feel like a little worm. They'd speak in this language and that language. Brilliant daughters. Then he wrote that he got this billet and got permission for me to go. And he sent me a detailed plan of how I was to get to Cologne, which again was rather terrifying, crossing the Channel. I'd never been to Ostend, and the boat was to land at Ostend. And then I was to get the boat, the train from Ostend to Cologne, because he was on duty. He was in a field ambulance then, outside Wilhelm, about 4 miles out of Cologne. However, fate stepped in. There he was on the deck at Ostend. I've never been so thankful to see anybody in my life. So we had rather a happy weekend in Brussels first, and then we went on to Cologne, and then we went on to Mulheim. And the house where we lived was a tall house, professional people, all of them professional people, extremely nice, but suffering acutely, acutely. The food problem there for the Germans was dreadful, unbelievable. The bread they had was definitely made of sawdust and bran. I never saw a butcher's shop the whole of the time I was there, in Cologne or anywhere. I never saw a butcher's shop. They would have a goose sometimes, which used to smell like hay, and it was terrible. They used to put it down in the cellar and do all sorts of things to it. I don't know if you've ever seen the continental way of doing a goose. They slop bits of fat all through it. It really looks a very elaborate thing. Oh dear, the smell of that goose and sauerkraut was terrible, very dreadful. And every day outside our window, windows were all, do you know Germany? The windows are not pavement level, they're above pavement level. And they have a little window in the doorway. They don't open the door, you open the shutter and see who it is first. Every day outside our window, it would be about anything up to a dozen children calling out for food or chocolate or anything we could give them. And at first, I didn't like to offer the family food, but eventually I compromised with myself and I thought, well, they're suffering acutely. They've lost a son. They were not a military family. The other son was a doctor, father was a doctor. Son was at university. So I said to Frau Mirbeck, I said, I wish I could have some brown bread. I said, I can only get white bread from the mess. We used to get a white bread from the mess, and we used to get a ration of meat every day. And fresh bread, fresh meat every day from the mess for my husband, myself, and our baton. I said, I do wish I could get a brown loaf. I said, I'm tired of this white bread, which was quite true. I love brown bread, I still do. So Frau Weber looked very sceptical. And Maria, who spoke very good English, she said, Mother doesn't think you mean that. I said, I really do, Maria. I said, I'll give her one of my white loaves, and she will give me one of her brown loaves, which we did. And they watched. They were watching very suspiciously to see if I ate it at all. And I did. It was dreadful, but I did eat it. And then our ration of meat for the three of us, my husband, myself, and my baton, was more than we needed, much more. And Maria used to cook for us, and cook very nicely, too. And she had a maid in the kitchen who used to wait on us, Agata, very nice maid, German girl. And I used to say to Maria afterwards, now, Maria, when we have had our dinner at night, we do not want that meat again. Now, it's no use to us again, and I don't want it cooking up again for lunch the following day, because we shall be out for lunch. Because my husband was at the field ambulance, and I used to go into Cologne. I used to go in and have German lessons and get a cup of coffee somewhere. And I said, if there's anything left over from the night, we don't want it again, because Bartle, that was our batman, brings in fresh everyone, which she knew. She saw it come in because she cooked it, you see. So really, I think they more or less lived out of that, more or less. And at Christmas time, I sent home to my mother and I said, will you send me some wool to knit for them, and will you send me some mincemeat? I said, they never heard of mince pies. So mother sent some mincemeat and she sent me some wool, because I had a scarf in those days, long scarves were worn. And as I walked down Frankfurtstrasse in Mulheim, they used to follow me and feel it. Oh, wunderschön, wohl, oh, wohl, wunderschön. Walking around, holding me and feeling this wool. I used to feel dreadful, really, and holy. So I knitted the ball scarf, and I hid it underneath the cushion in our room, and I gave Frau Mirbeck this scarf, and she was delighted with it. And then I went into their kitchen. No chairs in their kitchen. They don't expect their maids to sit down. Chairs in the kitchen. Anyhow, I said, could I make them some mince pies? I brought the contents that I needed with me, and I made them mince pies for their Christmas, and they liked it very much. And every Friday night, I think it was, we were invited into their dining room to have dinner with them. And really, the effort they made was really wonderful. They used to bring out their silver and their crystal. And they would make something, I don't know what it was, in the meat line, I couldn't say what it was. And then they made a fruit, we should call it an open fruit tart, a layer of pastry and plums, which were fairly plentiful. They had halved, taken out the stones and laid them on in rows, rather attractive. And they'd cut you a slice of this. And then they used to make cinnamon biscuits, which I didn't like, but we used to eat. But they were very good to me. And they were very, very short of food. And I remember great excitement. One day, some relative from the country brought them two eggs. And there was wild excitement over these two eggs. But they brought one in to me. And I feel Mirbeck. And I feel Johnson. They used to bring it. I said, no, you must give me a yes, because they would insist upon me having this egg, which I thought was very kind of them. Yeah. Of course, there wasn't the devastation then, you know. weren't bombed badly. Germany was practically intact.
How long were you there?
I was there from September until well into the following year, I think. And then I came home alone because my brother-in-law was very ill. And there was some talk of us going into Silesia when the Treaty of Memel, there was this question of signing some treaty in Memel, I don't quite understand it, but there was a question of some hesitation on some of the powers to sign this treaty. And if they had not signed it, my husband's division was to run to work, was going to be moved to somewhere near Dresden. And I was going with him there. But however, this treaty was signed, and if it was signed, he was due to come home to England. I think I told you he could sign on for a year at a time, so that's why he decided to sign on, as long as I was in the army, you see. And I came home, which was a terrifying journey, really. We were 14 hours late, and instead of coming straight home, straight by train from Cologne to Ostend, we went miles out of the way, because 14 of the bridges over which we should have come by train had been blown up, see, in Belgium. So we were very, very late. So I landed, but this isn't interesting you, dear. I mean, it's all past history. Is it interesting you?
Yes. It ties up the end of the war.
Yes.
I heard the beginning.
Well, I came home, and I'd been speaking of, well, not a fair amount of German, because I had to go into the shops and do my shopping and that sort of thing. And when I got to Calais, the train was 14 hours late, and there was nowhere to go. The ship wasn't going until 6 o'clock in the morning, and this was about 10 o'clock at night. So there was a young officer on the train, obviously going on leave, and he'd seen my husband see me off at Cologne. So he came up to me and he said, I saw your husband see you up. He said, we're going to be in a bit of difficulty to find accommodation. He said, how are you going to manage? And I said, I've not the vaguest idea. And I said, I've got nothing but German money. Well, he said, we'd better get some accommodation first. So he drove round to several of the hotels that were quite full. Then he found one, I always remember the name, the Hotel Sauvage, it was then. And I walked in, not thinking where I was at all. I was so tired and some journey. Haben Sie ein Schlafzimmer, bitte? Haven't got a bedroom, you see. And this woman, Deutsch, out. And I felt, I was terrified. However, again, this gallant young officer said, oh no, he said, she's a British wife. He said, she's just going home from Germany. Oh, that was all right. So she showed me up to a bedroom, which was two or three other women in it, and I just sat on the bed until about 5, and then made my way to the quayside and sat on my little trunk until the ship came in. That's how I came back to England. Not the experiences one gets in one's life, you know.
Then have you been in Harrogate since then?
Well, my husband, when he came home, had not done any midwifery or any gynecology all the 5 years he'd been in the army. And it was our intention to go out to New Zealand, where the doctors there do everything, surgery, gynecology, obstetrics, midwifery and everything. So he said, well, I shall have to go and have some training. So he went to Dublin, which was in those days was the centre of midwifery. There was a very big maternity hospital in Dublin, I don't think it's name. And he went there for a period for a course of midwifery. In the meantime, we had my father-in-law in New Zealand was a great deal connected with the New Zealand Shipping Company. And we had a berth promised on a ship to go out to New Zealand. But by the time my husband had finished his postgraduate courses, his midwifery courses, obstetrics course, his gynecological courses, and one of the others, this opportunity had gone. So we were rather it's a loose end to know quite what to do, very little money, and not any, no prospects of what to do at all. So then we came to Harrogate. And we've been here ever since. My husband built up a very good practice, which my son now has.
What did he specialise in?
General practice, but extremely good at midwifery. Very good at midwifery, did hundreds of babies. Very, very good at midwifery indeed. And that's how we built up our practice, really. But if you do midwifery, in those days of private practice, if you do midwifery, you see, you get the whole family. It's a very way, in the old-fashioned way of doing medicine, when it was private practice, no panels. If you were good at midwifery, you built up your practice, because if mother had you for her baby, father and the other families all came onto your practice as well. But of course, in the early days, we contracted a lot of very bad debts. Because people, a new doctor, when they go and then they forget to pay their bills, we had a very hard time.
Did you help?
I used to help my husband, yes, in any way I could, yes. Oh, yes.